Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. In this daily editorial, we are introducing a new company to the show, although I know that at least some of you guys still follow along with this company. The company is B Metals Corp, traded on the TSX Venture Exchange under the symbol BMET, and on the OTCQB under the symbol BMTLF. Shad and I are chatting with the Vice President of Investor Relations and Corporate Development, Derek Iwanaka. Now, Derek, let's start off with a general overview of the company, because the company has multiple projects in multiple different countries. We're going to start with the most advanced project here, the South Mountain Project. This is in Idaho. It's a high-grade, near-term development, polymetallic, mostly zinc-copper asset with significant silver and gold components. Now, this project, as I understand, is going through a PEA. Can you please bring us up to speed on where this project stands in terms of this PEA and what the current resource is as you head into that PEA?
Okay, well, thanks for having me on the show. And South Mountain's a pretty interesting property that we have an option on right now. The resource was actually, we just updated it last month, and essentially if you could add up, which you're not supposed to, of course, add up all the categories, we've essentially doubled the resource there. So we're pretty excited by the advancements of the resource. Going forward though, we were working on this PEA. That PEA should be done by this September, and that is, it's really going to give us a good indication of the economics of this property. And in addition to that, I mean, there's still some pretty low-hanging fruit, I think, that we could hit on with some additional drilling and build up the resource and hopefully improve the economics further.
So, Derek, this PEA is critical because it does trigger a further payment to the vendor, so the company, B Metals, owns the whole project. Take us through that relationship and that transaction, please.
So the way the option agreement is structured is that we've made making them a series of payments since we entered the option in late 2019. And the final value payment that gets us basically 75% interest in the property will be the 20% of the MPV of the PEA. I know there's a lot of acronyms there. So the preliminary economic assessment, once that's completed, we will have to pay them 20% of the net present value of that PEA. And so just as an example, if it was $100 million for the MPV, we would essentially have to pay them $20 million. And that would be in US funds. Now, we would net out any previous payments, which we have been making a series of payments. It would also net out any debt or liabilities that the company has, which it does have some. So we would net those out as well. And that would give us 75.
Okay. So that's what brings you up to 75% interest in the South Mountain Project. What work can be done following that PEA? Because again, that PEA very much a snapshot in time, and it's critical to trigger that then payment to up your guys' interest in the project. But what exploration is available here? What other work can be done post PEA?
So once we get that completed, I suspect that we're going to have to do some additional drilling to bulk up. We also want to push that the inferred resources into the measured and indicated categories. So we will have to do some additional drilling. Thankfully for this property, we have a lot of low-hanging fruit, as I said. So especially down at depth on what the bulk of the resource is right now, at least, is called the DMEA zone. Certainly down plunge, we have a lot of extent to increase the resource base or mineralization there, but also to the up plunge of the DMEA zone. And then the Texas zone is a zone that has kind of predominantly been fairly copper-rich. And we think that, we've only done one fan of drilling so far on the Texas zone. So we know that there's some extent we can extend the mineralization and the resource there, we think, with fairly good ease.
Okay, Derek. Well, it sounds like there's some exciting things going on at South Mountain for the rest of the year. So we'll have our eyes looking at that. But let's rotate over to a newer project for B Metals, and that's the Kazon Gold Project. You just announced in April, on April 28th, or April 26th, that you had acquired Kazon Resources, and they hold five different projects in Japan, mostly focused on gold, it appears. Could you walk us through the excitement in the company around these five new projects you've picked up in Japan?
Certainly. First of all, the properties were basically selected by the team at B2 Gold. And B2 Gold was one of the largest shareholders, or they were the largest shareholder of Kronk Resources, which was the private company that owned these five properties in Japan. So we completed that transaction at the end of April. We're super excited to be able to get in there because, you know, Japan is one of those rare or unique areas in the world that nobody really thinks of for mining, especially for gold mining. I mean, if you ask the average person, where do you think the highest grade gold mine is? I'm pretty sure Japan would be one of the bottom countries that they would select. So, but nevertheless, it hosts the Hishikari gold mine, which is either the highest or certainly one of the highest operating gold mines in the world. I mean, it's 30 to 40 grams per ton gold. So that's what's really kind of lured people or companies to enter into Japan. Japan basically was shut down from foreigners or foreign investment from World War II all the way up until 2012. So really, just in the last 9 years, they've even started to allow anybody else to come into Japan. And there's really only three companies, ourselves, Japan Gold, and Irving Resources, are the only companies, or at least Western companies, that are publicly traded that are exploring in Japan. So there's not a lot of competition. We were early, I can consider us an early company to get in and stake up some of the best properties. So I'm sure there's going to be new companies entering into Japan, but at least we were able to get our foot in the door before them. And so it's exciting. And we just made the transaction, or sorry, we just closed the transaction. So we're excited to get in there.
And just in looking at your presentation of the five different projects that you picked up in this acquisition, it looks like the Kato project is the most advanced or has had the most work done. Could you maybe quickly walk us through maybe some of the historic work and then what you are looking at doing as the year progresses?
Sure. The property was previously called Seta River. And for those who know Japan, that was actually probably a more well-known name. I'm not sure why exactly it was changed, but the Kato project was drilled in the 90s by the Japanese government. They came up with some really good drill results back in those days. It really wasn't followed up on until Kronk and the B2 guys got in there. They were able to drill it last year with some limited success. A couple of things that happened for them. One was the drill rig that they were using was just not powerful enough to get down to the depths of where they're trying to get. It is pretty rugged area. You don't probably think of Japan as being rugged, but when you are actually in Hokkaido, you're in pretty mountainous territory. And so it's difficult to actually get good drilling conditions. But they were able to do some drilling there. It was pretty limited, but they did get some interesting results. We really need to follow up on them because if we can replicate what the Japanese government did, it could easily turn into a resource there pretty quickly.
So, Derek, one more quick question regarding work that you can do in Japan. It is fairly well known that Japan is still relatively locked down, especially to outsiders. How does that impact the potential of drilling this project in the near term for you guys?
So the near term, I mean, we have to wait to see what the Japanese government does. To kind of, I guess, complicate matters, they have the Olympics that are going to be hosted there in late July to early August. So I know Japan is being perhaps overly cautious, but because of the Olympics, I think they've been pretty reticent to allow foreigners into the country. Even if you quarantine, like in Canada or other parts of the world, you can at least get into countries and quarantine. Japan is not doing that yet. So it remains to be seen when we can get in to actually start drilling. But What we're hoping is we can get in by kind of late summertime, commence drilling at least on the Kato project, and then probably move further south. I can't say which other projects we're going to drill at the moment, but we're already doing some stream sampling right now in the various projects in Japan. But Kato is definitely going to be high for us as a priority to get drilling.
Okay, Derek. Well, let's move over to the third main project the company has over in Zambia, Africa, and it's the Panjeni project, mostly focused on copper and big targets for copper. But quickly walk our audience through what the idea is here and what you'll be looking for, and if any work is going on there for the balance of the year.
Well, I hate to use cliches, but I mean, literally, we're in elephant country. You have some of the largest copper producers in the world operating in the area. You have First Quantum, you have Barrick, you have Rio Tinto, Ivanhoe are all along the Central African Copper Belt. That's where we are. So we are literally surrounded by giants. Probably the biggest advantage that we have over some of these other companies is that the property is quite blessed to have very thin sand cover. So, kind of how you have, say, gravel cover in Nevada, in Zambia, you have sand covering a good deal of the landmass. And in this part of the property, at least, we have very thin sand cover, which means it's a lot cheaper for us to go exploring. And that, of course, reduces our exploration costs. So we're able to kind of compete with some of these majors, because we can drill at a much cheaper cost than they can, since they have to deal with usually quite a bit thicker sand cover.
Derek, can you also give us a few insights into the company's relationship with JOGMEC? So this is Japan Oil, Gas, and Metals National Corporation. You are partnered on that project in Western Zambia. How has that relationship come together?
It's been terrific. So our CEO, John Wilton, he had a relationship starting up with them when he was formerly with Antofagasta, and he's maintained that relationship. It was kind of really serendipitous, actually, that we had JOGMEC come into this property, because we at the time we started establishing the relationship for B Metals, we didn't actually even know that we were going to get into Japan for gold as well. But so JOGMEC has been really a great supporter. They're essentially sharing half of the exploration costs for this year. So we're spending, we have a budget of $1.5 million US for air core and core drilling this year, which JOGMEC will pay about half of that. And next year, if we do about 1.5 million again, they would essentially pay for half of that. So we're getting basically 50% off on our exploration costs, which is already quite reasonable, since we have the thin sand cover. So we're getting really good bang for the buck with our exploration here. And like I was saying to you guys earlier, I mean, because you're looking for massive deposits, we're looking to have pretty spread out drill hole spacings, looking for a very large, I mean, quite likely it won't be high grade, but could be, but certainly large tonnage is what we're looking for.
All right, Derek, let's also talk about the team at B Metals, starting off with an independent director, Clive Johnson. Now, he is the CEO of B2 Gold. That ties into the relationship that the company B Metals has with B2 Gold. Take us through Clive's role in this company and also, again, that relationship between the two companies.
Sure. So Clive is he's one of the founding directors, as is Roger Richer, Tom Garagan, and John Wilton, and Kristen Reinertsen. So those are our founding directors. Mark Conley also joined the board just last year, around this time, actually last year. So that kind of rounded out the board. Clive has tremendous experience. I mean, he founded Bema Gold, which started off as a small junior exploration company that then was built into about a $3.5 billion company when it was bought out by Kinross Gold. Which is, I believe, Kupol is still one of their largest gold-producing assets in the Kinross stable. So that was from the Bema transaction. In 2007, the guys were sitting around and said, "You know what? Let's try this again." And they created B2 Gold, and that went from pretty much to from 0 to 1 million ounces of gold per year production today, with a market cap of around $6 billion. So they went from standing still to $6 billion company. I think it's one of the largest gold producing companies in Vancouver, certainly in Canada as well. So huge accomplishment there. And that's kind of that experience and the know-how is all being kind of transferred over to B Metals as well. So this is the Kin Lightning Strike the third time, and that's what we're going to see. We did start off with a pretty small market cap of $12 million. Now we're closer to $60 to $70 million market cap. So pretty decent growth so far, but really just getting started.
Now, what about the president and CEO as well, John Wilton? Can you give us a little background on John, please?
So John actually is really familiar with the Zambian assets, especially because he was formerly with Antofagasta, which is the large Chilean copper producer. And he was in charge of all the exploration in Africa. And when in 2017, when Antofagasta decided to pull out of basically all the rest of the world except for South America, this property was being joint ventured with Antofagasta. They pulled out. They actually had some interesting drilling results at the time, but they decided to pull out of all of Africa. John stayed on with the project and brought that to the B2 Gold team, which at that time, Clive, Tom, and Roger were just about to start or trying to create B Metals. And so the timing was perfect. That brought in the copper asset and brought John in as the CEO of our company.
Okay. A couple other company fundamentals here. Share structure, 177 million shares outstanding, 194 on a fully diluted basis. I'm seeing B2 Gold owns 19%, insiders and advisors 20%, retail float right around 48%. Derek, give us an update then quickly, please, on the cash in the bank that the company has and what the estimates are in terms of how long that will last the company.
So, yeah, we have about $11 million or just under $11 million now. I should actually point out that B2 Gold is, and I didn't really talk much about it, but B2 Gold is our largest shareholder. They came in through a couple ways. One was they came in through a financing that was priced at 44 cents. So it's actually our trading price is below that quite a bit actually right now. So a good value there. But so B2 Gold came in at our financing or our last financing. They also were the largest shareholder of Kronk, which when we acquired Kronk, we inherited B2 as well. So we have B2 as our largest shareholder, which is really key because we get a lot of not only just financial support, but we also get technical support, legal support, and almost everything else in between because they have engineering teams, geological teams. So we get that type of support for a tiny company. It's really, really helpful for us. So I can't really understate that. But something that we're working on right now is really to get the institutional side larger. And we are starting to get a little bit better exposure now to the B2 Gold share kind of registry, you can call it. And we're already starting to see some of the largest shareholders of B2 Gold take toeholds interest into our company. So last time I showed this slide, it was the 8% for institutional was only 2%. We've already grown that, and I suspect that that's going to continue to grow as we get some of that smart, large money into the stock.
All right, Derek, let's wrap it up. Quick comment here regarding near-term news and catalysts. Just summarize that for everybody, please.
Sure. I think the biggest thing in the near term really is going to be the PEA for South Mountain. But in addition to that, I mean, I'm really excited to see when we can start drilling in Japan. With results that the Japanese government got, and even what the B2 Kronk team did last year, there's some really good potential there. Hopefully we get to start drilling here by this summer. But once we get that PEA done for South Mountain, that gets us the 75%. We'll get another 25% either through a couple ways. One is we either pay a net smelter royalty that it's capped at $5 million. That would give us the 25%. We either just pay that royalty over the mine life, or we could pay it up front and then get that other 25%, which would give us the full 100% into the South Mountain property. In addition to that, we're already drilling in Zambia right now. We have a air core program that's ongoing as we speak, and we are doing a core program as well. So we should have, we're drilling about 4,000 meters of air core and 1,500 meters of core drilling there. So we should start to see some results by the end of the summer. So we should have results coming from all three properties here, hopefully in the next 2 or 3 months.
Okay. Derek, I appreciate the update. If anybody has any follow-up questions for Derek or the team over at B-Metals, please email us either fleck@kereport.com or shad@kereport.com. We will get those addressed for you, and we're definitely going to follow up on the back of the PEA and also any news in the interim. So, Derek, thank you for the time. Keep us up to date on news. Have a great rest of your week.
Thank you so much, Corey, Shad. Excellent to meet you. Thanks so much for having me on the show.